is they don't know how to handle, teach these kids, so they put them in special classes, as special ed, and hope that the problem will just go away. They're a problem child. They just need to be away from the other kids, controlled. As long as they're behaving, they'll pass them, and that's not right. They're not teaching the kids. They're not actually giving them knowledge. With me, I can't even write. And that's not cool. 20 years old, I should be able to write.
The school system's really failed you and left you unprepared to make a living.
Exactly.
They're building more prisons than schools and universities, and 16 prisons in the last 10 years versus one university, and they're building 20 more new prisons. They don't want people to be educated. They want people to be slaves in their Nazi fascist concentration camp.
And what's your name? You can give a nickname if you'd like. How long have you been homeless? She doesn't want to...
Well, she's been out here for not that long, but she's been out here long enough to see it. It's hard.
Uh-huh.
It's real hard. She'd rather not speak. You know, a lot of people don't like speaking, you know, especially when a lot of people are going to be heard.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Yeah, all 10 of our listeners.
Yeah, you gotta excuse me, I'm eating at the moment.
People gotta eat, people gotta sleep, people gotta go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I usually end up feeding people before I eat myself. I end up fucking... Sorry, excuse my language.
That's alright, this is a free radio.
You can say fuck on free radio.
Oh, okay.
We're not under FCC rules.
Oh.
So you can say fuck.
Oh, well, I end up taking care of people better than I take care of myself. It's not good, but the thing is, a lot of the people out here I consider family. I look after people like family, and that's what people do for me out here. It's like a big family. We are very friendly people, but the thing is, you just don't hurt anybody in our family.
So your friend here who is opting to not speak, and I respect that, she's 14 years old and was kicked out for, or your family, I'm not going to say your name, your family asked you, they didn't, you left home because of... a difficult family situation, and you've been out on the streets for a month now. Okay, you'll have to answer for her because she doesn't want to speak.
Yeah, she said something like that, around a month, a little over actually, I think.
Have you found any help from, say, the Homeless Resource Community Center or any other organization, or maybe gone down to get food stamps at Emmeline?
I went and got food stamps. It's just that I can probably get other things. It's just so much hassle because I don't really know where to start. And a lot of times they don't help you through it.
How about the Above the Line program that is for teenagers?
Don't know it. Don't know it. I'm not a teenager anymore.
Well, your friend here is, and she's 14.
I don't know about it.
So maybe... might want to check into that. I'm not sure how they can help you, but seems like at 14 years old, you shouldn't be living on the streets.
Well, that's what I'm screaming. That's it. That's what I'm screaming. No, who should be living on the streets? Nobody. Food and shelter should be free. Food and shelter and medicine should be free, and wherever, and everything else, should be paid for if you want it. But food and shelter and medicine should be free for everybody.
Thanks a lot, Green, and thank you, Mystery Girl. This is 96.3 FM Free Radio, Santa Cruz. And you're listening to Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides from Jail. And I'm your hostess, Becky Johnson. And now, for a little Diana Ross with Funny How Time Slips Away.
Well, hello there. My, it's been a long, long time.
Castro Pierre Broadside. Robert Norse Khan, once again, his number, you can write him. He'll write back. He wrote me back a couple times. Robert Norse Khan, 147-2209, County Jail 8, F-Pod, 41B, 425 7th Street, San Francisco, California, 94103. Also, help support the sleepers protest, the vigils, the protesters at City Hall. Just come down, whatever, you know, with food, whatever you can donate, whatever you can. There'll be someone there like Dan Hopkins or myself, Mad Mike the Wonder Dog. Or you can send whatever, check, cash, whatever to P.O. Box 1694, Santa Cruz, California, 95061.
Interesting. I had a phone call last night from Stephen DeCinzo. Well, it's for Richard, exactly.
DeCinzo's a Nazi punk.
Richard wasn't here when he called, so I couldn't resist having a little chat with him. And
he's a cartoonist from Metro.
I did not interview him, you know, for the radio. But I did ask him, you know, why are you so, you know, so find so much humor in bashing homeless people? You know, the cartoon, which you probably haven't seen, that came out yesterday, where he was basically, for, you know, describing that the farmer's market was, you know, being plagued by pests. Right, in very unflattering terms. And he talked with me for a long time, a good 20 minutes.
Wow, you should have recorded it.
And, yeah. And,
demoralizing, or do you find it interesting?
Oh, I suppose you could look at it and say it's demoralizing because, you know, here, you know, he's doing these editorial cartoons weekly, he has a fairly big audience, and yet he personally is just full of misinformation and negative myths.
He's also
about
full of shit.
People. And you know that you know, he says, "Well, Santa Cruz, we have way more than our share of homeless people," and I tried to dispute him, you know, because. You know, nationwide, homelessness is 1-3%. And
what did he say?
He just ignored me.
The Rodkin syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it was the, you know, we shouldn't provide services for homeless people because that will just invite homeless people from all over the country and the world to come to our doors, and that homeless people are lazy and they don't want to work, and that they're all a bunch of alcoholics and drug addicts, and you know, I work hard for my money, and you know, and people are homeless because of their own personal failings and bad choices that they've made. And when I tried to say Steve, you know, it was not easy to get in a word edgewise, I might say. Steve, the experts say that homelessness is caused by low wages and high cost of housing, neither of which is a personal problem.
Did he hear anything you said?
No, I don't think so. Then I asked him about your cartoon, the one that...
Another rant.
Yeah. It was the Robert Norse rant.
He was often ranting.
Yeah. He says, Robert Norse isn't for the homeless. Robert Norse is just for about Robert Norse. That's all Robert Norse is about. And
I've heard that before.
Yeah. I asked him what's the humor of joking about jailhouse know, for someone who is a comic artist.
Well, I don't know, cartoon writers are particularly funny when they talk, particularly people who lampoon. He's a caricaturist.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm glad he's a caricaturist. I like it when caricatures Kennedy and Kennedy. He occasionally does that.
Mm-hmm.
But, he obviously is.
Some of the comments that Robert had to make.
And what might that word be exactly? sophist. It's an attitude. You participate in life to the fullest, clarifies Mueller. However, don't plan on pulling together a convention of rule-snubbing, life-affirming booze hounds and booking a charter down to the New Republic just yet. Well, I don't need to finish this about the volleyball tournament.
With respect to this exciting... About the liquor, about the quality of her story, about her usual...
I want you to comment about the references to the all-sleeper protest. It's only one reference, but, you know...
96.3 FM.
Thank you.
Santa Cruz. This is Pierre Bathros Pierre Broadside. Interview from Robin Norris in the county jail. You can continue right now.
You're listening to Bathros Pierre's Broadsides from Jail. This is Becky Johnson, your hostess for the hour. And shortly you'll be hearing from Mad Mike the Wonder Dog on 96.3 FM Free Radio, Santa Cruz. And now, some more of that interview with Robert Norris from County Jail 8, in which he discussed an article that appeared in the Metro News about an island for tequila.
It's only one reference, but, you know, in the context of the whole article.
I think that, you know, the appropriate response to a letter writer would be something like, the people who have no rules are obviously the city council who are trying to make up new ones all the time regarding shortcutting the Constitution and eliminating protest rights and coming up with a widely different statements about the sleeping ban and how it's enforced throughout Santa Cruz. And then changing the rules that they use to deal with the protests in terms of the fines that are allowed, the displays that are allowed, the rules about seizing blankets, how many blankets they have. They're the ones that are changing their stories. Protesters have been uniform and simply making a call for a reasonable modification of the sleeping ban that would bring Santa Cruz into the 20th century. And Santa Cruz's political elite did not want to respond. So the people that are violating the rules are not the protesters, who are really quite cognizant of the rules since they're under the eye of the police. Rather, it's the politicians who are maintaining essentially a state of siege for homeless people in Santa Cruz. Arrested many times for an essential human activity. And then when they're intrepid enough to raise their voice, further legal penalties and further legal attacks under an unprecedented injunction.
Well, I think it's interesting about this injunction is that everybody is talking about Judge Stevens, Mike Rodkin. Apparently, it's all out in the open that the whole purpose of the injunction is to shut down the protests and has nothing to do with any health or safety violations associated with the protest or nothing to do with any criminal behavior other than, you know, sleeping and covering up with blankets, which is the whole point of the protest. And it seems like nobody seems to realize that this is a major affront on constitutional rights to protest.
Yeah, although I think Rodkin probably realized it when he withdrew his regulation 2 weeks ago, because he probably became aware of the fact that even somebody as emotionally involved in opposing the protest and fighting some of the major people in the protest as, Squawk Box Scott Kennedy, or what do you call it, Camp Killer Kennedy, the city council person, he probably wouldn't go for this clearly selective attack on protesters to the detriment of any kind of protest at City Hall at night. So, Rodkin is probably realizing the best way to kill this protest is to ignore it. The protesters themselves are not that coherent in terms of staying together. I mean, they come together and they're amazing if they continue. My hats are off to them, or my lack of hats. Had I a hat, I would take it off.
No hats in the glamour slammer, huh?
That's correct. But I did put on a hairnet as I served breakfast this morning.
Oh, you served breakfast?
I was accused by two prisoners of repeating my crime, and they threatened to call the police. I told them that I would have to continue to serve, even if they called the deputies. Deputy chortled at that one. I gave the next inmate his Malto meal and scrambled eggs.
Uh-huh. Could you also comment about the
Ed Shen and Larry Hildes from Berkeley and Kate Wells from Santa Cruz are going to be dealing with a demurrer, which is a constitutional challenge to the sleeping ban law, under which a lot of the City Hall protesters are being arraigned. Sleeping ban law, as anybody who's listened to the station knows, is a city ordinance, makes it illegal to sleep outside after 11. One case of it is an infraction, second case in 48 hours is a misdemeanor, and there's never been a misdemeanor case that's actually gone to trial, although there are three currently in the courts, possibly four now. Sean Alimi, Ian Faith, or is it Faith Ian? I can never remember which. It's also known as Nikki Mooncat, also known as James Basso. Or is it Basso?
Basso.
And then there's one more. I think they filed against Flory or somebody else. And misdemeanor means you can serve up to 6 months in jail, and so it's a serious case. You're allowed a public defender and a jury trial in those cases, whereas infractions, you have to represent yourself or get a volunteer to volunteer.
Could you try to anticipate what sort of arguments Ed Chun might put forth about the constitutionality of the sleeping ban?
I've been very cynical about Ed Chun and other public defenders, perhaps sometimes without cause, because public defenders have, in fact,
for those of you tuning in, this is 96.3 FM, Santa Cruz.
Pirate radio, baby.
Robert Norris interviewed from jail. Before I go off the air, I'll give you his address again here. You can write him. Show your support.
They haven't written me regarding any kind of defense meetings they've had with Ed Chun. Those kinds of meetings are important. I mean, there are a number of arguments that could be made. Chun should obviously contact Ray Grunike, legal worker in Santa Cruz, who was an attorney for 20 years, who handled all these cases locally and did marvelous defense and come up with all kinds of new things every time, every trial. He volunteered his services to come to every single sleep
just want to remind you listeners out there that me and Dan Hopkins will be back on the radio from 2 to 4. Be sure to listen and try to play some music too, instead of all this boring talk, blah, 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 blah.
Is that what the racial mix is where
but
you're at
what
now?
Robert has to say is pertinent, is real.
Everywhere or anywhere.
That's the disadvantages of having call waiting.
Making all your court dates and making all your appointments and following through. And if you miss one step, then it becomes a contempt of court charge, and that's much more serious.
Well, no, it becomes a failure to appear, not a contempt of court. A contempt of court is when you deliberately violate a court order or you act up in court. But
so what is the difference between failure to appear?
Failure to appear means you didn't show up when you said you were going to, and that's considered a misdemeanor. If it's if you make a court appearance and then you promise to be at a court appearance by signing a ticket and then don't, then that's failure to appear. Now, my advice to people who are charged with this is to plead not guilty in all cases. They have to show it's a willful failure to appear.
Mm.
But and usually they drop it because it's a misdemeanor, therefore you get a jury trial. Although there's some dangerous court rulings that came down a couple days ago around that issue, which people should consider, although it's nothing new that they don't allow you a jury trial if it's less than 6 months. One way they could suddenly get a lot of people in jail without attorneys is start giving out potential sentences of less than 6 months on misdemeanors, and then suddenly all these jail crimes will no longer have jury trials or public defenders. Pretty ominous possibility, but it isn't happening yet. Anyway,
what is going on with this prison system? Are they just trying to?
Well, let's return to what's happening in court.
All right. Please.
And of course, by the time people have heard this, probably it'll already be over. It may be continued. People may quickly push these things down the road.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest that the attorneys ask for a continuance if they don't have good arguments ready. And I suspect they don't, because I heard that there's not much going on. The attorneys are doing other things.
Let's say the protesters are in the courtroom right now, as the radio station, as this message being said.
That is an unconstitutional infringement.
City Hall protesters.
If you go into federal court, this is unfortunately a state court, so they have to deal. They have the California Supreme Court precedent, the Tobe case, to deal with. But there are other aspects of it, like I remember our guest some weeks back.
James Purcell.
James Leatherlungs. James Purcell, as we used to call him back in the days of the union, was homeless in Santa Cruz. He's working on a case where he's fighting the sleeping ban of supplies to vehicles. And that's hopefully a successful quest on his part.
Yeah, I hope he is successful, because, talk about a victimless crime. You know, someone's in their vehicle and sleeping. I mean, how does that impact anyone negatively?
Well, there are some arguments that people make that, you know, if you allow vehicles in a beachside resort town to sleep in their vehicles in residential neighborhoods, they will do so in great numbers and create a health and safety hazard, because they will defecate and urinate in the area, they will litter in the area, and those statutes cannot be enforced, because when the actual acts of littering happen, they will not be connectable to any particular vehicle, and therefore the only thing that could be connected directly to a vehicle is the act of sleeping or the presence of being there late at night. You actually have to sleep in a vehicle to be.
And so all the tourists that the Chamber of Commerce is inviting to come here, they don't leave litter?
Well, you see, it's clearly pretty classist legislation, and it also could be dealt with in other ways. It could be dealt with by zoning the city. You know, there are big vehicles, big rigs that come in and camp. People sleep in them every night. It's obvious it's selectively enforced. There's a better solution than this current sleeping ban. If the city council had any serious willingness to proceed, even those minority members of the city council, like Catherine Byers and Celia Scott, who claim to be opposed to the sleeping ban, are utterly gutless. I see them unwilling to even frame a minority plank.
I was disappointed that when we were challenging the injunction that we couldn't get the most pablum and milquetoast declarations from either Catherine or Celia.
They were forcing us to subpoena them, and our attorneys didn't want to subpoena them either. You have a bunch of milquetoasts, you know, playing patty cake with each other.
You're listening to 96.3
homeless people outside
FM, Santa Cruz Pirate Radio.
That's too bad. And the protesters who have been, you know, incredible in their endurance and their willingness to...
We're running out of time.
You know,
one once again, let me give you this address of Robert North so you can write him before this show is over with.
Some of that, where Food Not Bombers have been arrested by the SWAT team.
25 7th Street, San Francisco, California, 94103. We're about running out of time here in the queue. I'd like to say support the free radio station, because when, like I said, when they outlaw freedom, only outlaws will be free. And in the coming days, we're probably going to go on a little fundraising drive to get money so we can keep this station on the air. And if you'd like to help support the protesters down in City Hall, you can send checks, money order, cash to P.O. Box 1694, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Don't put anybody's name on it. We'll just make sure that Feed the People, Food Not Bombs, Revolutionary Coalition, Jim Costner, and Common Threads Coalition, and the Protesters Defense Fund, Legal Defense Fund. It's costing us money to fight these assholes in court. They're in court right now, and we're trying to raise money for Sunshine and Sandy and Patrick Ring so they can fight their case in court, and we're going to sue the fascist state. Basically, we're fighting for your rights, so and our rights as well. So it would behoove you to help us out, and Dan and I will be back on the air from 2 to 4. Be sure to listen in there. This ought to be a really good show. I believe it's going to be a really good show. All right, everybody, grab your bong. I'm gonna play you some Zep.
Thank you.
North, who's in county jail right now for serving food. I guess my relief is not here, but that's okay. I can handle the station until someone show up. Here's some stones.
This is the Babylon break from 12 to 2. There's some truly terrifying music.